Sasqua is a podcast about Bigfoot. It's recorded for the skeptics, the believers, the knowers, and those who just have a casual interest in the subject. For more information, visit sasquatch.com. What you're about to hear is an episode of Sasquatch that Mark and I recorded live inside Salt Fork State Park. We had originally planned a sort of elaborate throughout the day sort of recording experience where we would put you right with us as we were walking through the park. Unfortunately, we had such a good time kind of wandering around, looking at the sights and smelling the odd smells of Salt Fork State Park that we completely forgot after we had recorded like a mere maybe 12 minutes. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and play some of the audio that we recorded inside the park, and then we will pick up and kind of continue with that. But before we do that, I wanted to talk to you real quick, Mark, about the day that we actually had inside Salt Fork. Now, this is a place where, and we talk about this throughout the show, but this is a place where people are said to consistently see Bigfoots. It's kind of the place where I know a lot of BFRO members and Ohio Bigfooters go regularly to have experiences.
Right.
And now I'll say we weren't there long. I would say maybe 3 hours.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. At the most.
Right, at the most. And we hit Hosak's Cave. We made it to the longest trail we walked was the Stonehouse Trail,
mm-hmm.
Which maybe 2 miles, 3 miles. Felt like it took 5 hours to walk. But we did that, and then we walked we parked at the Bigfoot Ridge camp area, which is said to have a lot of experience, yes, there.
And got people, the obligatory researcher photos by the primitive, exactly, campground sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought we looked good. I mean, if I saw a picture of us standing there, I'd be like, these guys are authentic.
They are serious
Bigfoot investigators.
Grizzled and hardened by experience. The school of, yeah, hard knocks. That's us. Clearly.
What's your take on the park? I know we talk about this a little bit in the actual show, but you know, did we, you know, on all these times that you've gone to the park, because you've been there a lot more than me, have you seen or experienced anything? And I know you have, so don't try to back out of this by saying no. Have you seen or experienced anything that you would consider squatchy?
Oh, well, I don't know about squatchy. I mean, we've been there when we have heard movement in the woods, and it's been a fairly cleared area, and there doesn't seem to be anything visibly making the sounds. Now, what that could be, who knows? And, you know, when you go to Salt Fork, what you find is a whole lot of ravines, and sound does interesting things in those ravines for people who have been there. Or if you can just imagine the general shape of a ravine, and you hear something on one side and you're standing on the other, something like a squirrel moving through the leaves creates a huge sound. It sounds like, you know, what is that? You know, tearing through the woods. Oh, it's a squirrel. But I think that's part of the natural amphitheater quality of these ravines and caves. It just amplifies the sound and pushes it down, you know, these little valleys and things like that. I think the thing that's really compelling as, you know, how could something hide in an area like this is just its sheer size as a park. This isn't just like a park that you hike into and there's a 1 mile loop trail and a pond. I mean, this is a really huge area. And the interesting thing to me is that so many of the sightings of Bigfoot have happened in places that are relatively well traveled. You know, there are places in Salt Fork, I'm sure, I don't have any knowledge of, I've never been to before, which would be fun to go to and hang out there and you know, wait to see what happens. But a lot of the sightings that come in are of very populated trails and near cabins that, you know, people use all the time. So that really fascinates me about the stories that come in about Salt Fork.
Yeah, you had to have two things to have a Bigfoot sighting. You had to have a Bigfoot, and you had to have a witness. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. There's the interesting thing about the county that Salt Fork calls home, Guernsey County. Mm-hmm. It's a very sparsely populated county, and just full of dense woods. And I talk about it on the show in some of the sound clips we'll play coming up. The undergrowth is so thick. It's crazy when you're... And like you said, it is a massive park. I mean, from the time you drive into the entrance until you drive to the lodge, it probably takes 10, probably at least 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, yeah. I believe it's 6 miles from the entrance to the lodge, and with the speed limit being what it is, mm-hmm. it takes a while. Like, where are
hills,
we?
Right. And it's hills and valleys and woods and a huge lake, big lake, mm-hmm. kind of... Very interestingly, kind of proportioned lake, too, the way it runs through the park. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. That Bigfoot Ridge Campground is in a very forested area on a kind of a crest of a hill with the lake behind it stretching out. I mean, it would make sense for there to be people seeing these or having these encounters in that area. Just because, I guess, of where it is, you know, it's probably one of the more densely forested areas in the park.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an interesting place. I've always talked about the fact that I'm skeptical of it. But to be honest, we were there for a whole day, and I didn't hear anyone out there making Bigfoot calls other mm-hmm. than us.
No. No, that's right. And it's such a great place to camp. Andy and I have camped there before, and regardless of what other experiences you may have... we heard barred owl calls all night long. I mean, it's just a great place, really great mm-hmm. place to go.
Now, we didn't, I can't say that we experienced anything squatchy when we were in there for our tiny 3 hours, other than we were on a hike along the Stonehouse Trail, which runs with a steep hill. If you're walking toward the Stonehouse, there's a steep hill that kind of stays to your left pretty much the whole way. And then to your right is the lake. I mean, you're just pretty much walking along the lake the whole time. On our way back with the steep hill to our right, we all stopped simultaneously because we were hit with this smell. Just this really odd kind of, and what I said was like a horse, like a sweating horse mm-hmm. kind of smell.
Musky.
And we all smelled it. Right.
Yeah.
And we moved, and this wasn't something we had smelled at any point. So, you know, we were all trying to come up with what it could have been, you know, the lake or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We smelled it, and it moved with us as we were walking. So my assumption was obviously I should have probably showered at some point in the last week. But no, seriously, it was just an odd kind of heavy animal smell.
Mm-hmm.
And it did move. I mean, when we walked, we smelled it again a little further down the trail. And it came and went. And then we did lose it as we got closer to the parking lot. We just lost it altogether.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. It could have been anything. There are a lot of animals in that park.
Yeah, definitely.
I think.
You know, another thing that was weird, and I am mm-hmm. completely not attributing this to Bigfoot in any way, but... Mm-hmm. When you go on a hike, of course, you know, there's the trail is marked generally with some type of color or a plaque of some sort on the trees. And the Stonehouse Trail is marked with red. And we found a couple saplings that, for whatever reason, had been twisted off, and they were trail markers. So I don't know if people were just being stupid and, wrecking these trail marker trees or what, but it was just sort of a humorous moment. I mean, you see these twisted off trees and so forth. And, if you're out there looking for Bigfoot, somebody could connect the dots, I guess.
Attribute that to Bigfoot.
Right.
Sure, sure. Okay. And since we're in Salt Fork, we might as well. So let's move on. We're going to get into some of the audio we recorded in the park.
On my iPhone app.
Okay, there isn't on here. But, okay, Andy, come here. Okay, this is Sasquatch, a podcast about Bigfoot. I'm your host. My name is Seth. I'm joined by your other host,
Mark Matsky.
And today we are live in Salt Fork State Park, Bigfoot Mecca of Ohio, supposed Bigfoot Mecca of Ohio. And
We are out with Andy Matsky. You may know him from the Monsterland, Ohio podcast. Hello. So you were about to tell me about a possible Bigfoot encounter in the park.
Yes. It was about 2 weeks ago when we were on the Morgan's Knob Loop Trail, and we're just hiking, and then we do a knock. We wait a little bit, and then it's huge. Sounds like if it was a knock, the branch exploded. And then
didn't we talk about this on a show where not this particular thing, but something where one of us would do a knock and it
yes.
would literally because of my
shattered,
power,
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Something. So it's, was that so no. It could have been Mark.
Maybe. I don't maybe.
Could have been your dad.
It. Yeah. Let's get excited.
Was he around when this happened? It's like Batman if there's a knock in the woods and he's not around.
I kept peeking out from behind a tree every once in a while.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, back. We made the knock and then bang, another huge one. And then we hear like something comes down because it's fall. Something comes down. And then we're in a top of a ravine. And then this chipmunk freaks out. He just starts making a huge ruckus.
Was it a squirrel? Or was it a chipmunk?
I think it was a chipmunk. And then just goes insane. And then nothing else happens.
Oh. Uh-oh. This is going to... Okay. So right now we're at... What is this called? Hosex Cave. Have there been sightings here?
Yes, there have.
Can you get in closer to the mic?
Okay. Now, one that I have read about recently is just close to the beginning of the trail. Somebody saw, it was like a cinnamon reddish-colored 7-8-footer kind of pop out and then go up the ridgeline. But it was right around this area during a time when the creek was running and there was a waterfall. It's so dry now that there is no...
Yeah. Can you describe this area for our listeners? Because not everyone that listens to the show is from
Ohio. Well, it's a surprising sort of cave area. You okay?
All right, so, yeah. Describe the geography.
Describe it? Well, what you see throughout Salt Fork are a number of ravines.
This chain in through the loop, so she has like a contributing thing. Oh, wait, I know what it is.
We're still rolling.
Why don't you describe the geography?
The geography.
Okay.
And that keeps her.
Well, all throughout the park, you've got a series of ravines caused by drainage. Billions and billions of years ago. But you have these type of shelf-style caves that have formed and... If you've ever been down to the Hocking Hills area, there's a number of cave systems there. Ash Cave is the one that this resembles because you can essentially walk right up to the base of the cave. It's not the classic sort of cave that you think of. It's sort of a cylinder that you enter into. This is more of a half moon shape.
And there's, I was saying when we came in, there's a few of these that I know of in Ohio. In fact, there's probably more than a few. Because I know of a tiny version of this back behind my parents' house. So it's like, it must be a geographical thing in Ohio where, because there's a few, there's at least two that I know of in Cuyahoga Valley. There's Ash Cave at Hocking Hills. There's Big Lion's Falls at Mohican. And then there's this, and they all look really similar.
Yeah.
It's like a horseshoe shape.
Like a horseshoe, right. Yeah. Exactly. And the thing that's really striking... as we're standing here looking at it, is that there's lots of falls that happen, rocks breaking off of the structure itself, as well as tree falls that are too close to the edge, and at some point gravity takes over, and there's a bunch of junk right in the middle that you have to navigate if you want to get up to the actual outcropping. But it's really cool. And the last time we were here, there's still heavily wooded, a lot of leaves are still on the tree, but now that they've fallen, you can really see the whole stretch of the cave. It's pretty impressive.
Did you say anything about the fact that there's probably kind of a mini waterfall when there's...
Right. Okay. Yep. Right in the middle, you can see that there's a gray stripe on the rock face, and that's usually...
It's dripping.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's dripping. But usually when there's been adequate rain, that's a pretty steady
waterfall. As long as we're
waterfall.
Doing this right now, Salt Fork, my problem with Salt Fork has been that in my thinking, and I know this is a fact, this is considered when I say Bigfoot Mecca, I'm kind of joking, but it's seriously considered like the hub of Bigfoot activity in Ohio. And not necessarily because it's actually where the most sightings are or whatever, but just popularity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I know there have been a lot of sightings, and we know at least one person that's had a sighting in here, Walter Tippy.
Tippy, yeah.
He had a sighting here. But the problem I always have is that there's so many people in here looking for Bigfoot now, so you constantly get calls and wood knocks and everything. But at the same time, what I said to you guys when you got here is, I'm on my drive in, I'm amazed always by how much undergrowth there is in Salt Fork, and I don't know what it is that sets this apart from other areas of, well, especially northern Ohio, but I imagine this is actually probably kind of common for this area, like you're even down by Zanesville where right. you are, but up here, the undergrowth is crazy. It's middle of fall right now. We're into November, and you still, in some areas, wouldn't be able to see the ground through the ground cover.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and the thing that's so amazing about that in terms of Salt Fork is how much of this was reclaimed farmland, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the growth that you see is not necessarily old growth, but it's what's sprung up since
yeah.
this all became state park.
That's the way it is through most of Ohio too. There aren't many old growth places left. There's Johnson's Woods, which is actually only like 25 minutes from where I live. But those are old growth trees,
mm-hmm.
old growth by Ohio standards.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there isn't a lot of old growth left. But apparently there's Bigfoots here. Old growth Bigfoots.
Old growth Bigfoots. Yeah, there's some big ones.
Yeah.
Reported. You know, just looking at some of the more recent ones, it doesn't seem like you see one less than 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
So we grow them big down here.
Yeah. Classic
Guernsey
Ohio.
County.
Mine is really good.
Let's just set that there.
All right.
Is it recording?
Yeah.
Someone wants to talk. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Am I doing my wood knot?
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. Ready?
Are you kidding? How are you doing that?
Well, this is a skill I acquired back when I was a big Fat Boys fan. And the human beatbox
yeah.
would do the... And so I was bumping around on the internet, and I saw Tom Powell say that he thinks that's what squatchers might be doing some of the time.
So is that what they call tooth popping? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just started trying it, and it makes a lot better resonant sound
yeah.
than I can ever get with a wood knock. You know?
Do it again.
Okay.
That's crazy. I'm impressed. Okay, so we're on the Stonehouse Trail. Sighting reports over here?
There's one that I'm aware of.
Jeez, you're like a human encyclopedia. What's Wikipedia? You're a Squatchopedia.
Markopedia. Right.
tell us what was the sighting over here?
Well, the sighting was somebody hiking like we're doing right now, and when they reached the area near the stone house, I forget what year this was, but they did see a creature down by the water line. And it seems like that characterizes a lot of the Salt Fork reports, is that a creature is seen near the water, probably drinking or fishing, whatever. And then once they're spotted, they'll head back up the ridge. So that was pretty much the case with the stone house report.
I feel like I have a Stonehouse sighting on here. Picnic Suburb Salt Fork State Park. These are BFRO reports.
Yeah. That's where I got most of mine from, too.
Yeah, I think this one was over by...
That noise you hear is me. I'm on.
This one was a BFRO. The noises house. They were out having a picnic or something?
Yeah.
Is that here? I couldn't... There wasn't... I thought it said Stonehouse.
No, I think the picnic one is up at the picnic area that we...
Okay, ignore me. Before. Listeners, just ignore me. Let's see, what was this one? Now, Bigfoot just did a wood knock.
That's a reply.
Yeah, this one isn't even from Salt Fork State Park. Well, you know, this was a good time. I'm glad I had a lot to contribute to this conversation.
The end.
It might actually be in the book that you got.
It might be.
Yeah.
We'll have to get into that
mm-hmm.
eventually, whenever we stop next.
Yeah.
I've been here one other time. I was telling you about it, and I got lost within 5 minutes of parking, getting out of the car. We were lost in the woods here. And I was lost for 3 hours with no reception on my phone.
Wow.
So.
It's a survival situation.
It was. I actually was Survivor Man, the original Survivor Man. All right. We're going to continue walking. We'll update you eventually.
So that was our day in Salt Fork State Park, and I know it wasn't much, but it was the best we could do on the fly. I have to say, Mark, that tooth popping thing you do, it's crazy.
That may be my one shining contribution to Ohio Bigfootery. They'll still talk about, you know, late years from now. You see that guy do that?
All right. Now, we talked a little bit in there. I know we mentioned Walter Tippy's encounter in Salt Fork State Park. He sent me the BFRO report for his sighting. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to read that real quick.
Yeah, definitely.
He talks about the fact that, you know, he's a vendor. He was at Salt Fork State Park. Let's see. Here we are. I was a vendor at Creature Weekend, Salt Fork State Park, May 4th, 9:45 p.m. A fisherman that was in a tournament came in all shook up and said, "At first I thought you were a bunch of nuts until now." So he started to tell his story to other vendors. Basically, Walter said that, you know, the guy had seen something up on the hill. So they decided to go down to the hill the next morning. And at 5:30 a.m., I'll start without him. He was going to meet people there. He started without them. Maybe they'll catch up with me. So I started to head down the sagebrush trail and headed to where he got the picture. This was the fisherman who had taken a picture. The wind was from my left to right, and the sun was on my right shoulder and left shoulder. And halfway down the path, two deer must have smelled me because they were on my right and started running. So I kept walking, and the sun started to come up. And when I hit the first turn on the sagebrush trail, I heard something like talking on the ridge on my left. At first, I thought it was a friend A and friend B with friend A's black shirt on. So I hit a tree and yelled, "Hey, guys, wait up." Then they started to walk faster, and I yelled, "Very funny, guys." This is when I got a great look at them. Basically, he saw two Bigfoots, black and huge, is what he described them. They pretty much darted out of there, and he didn't get much of a look at them. He did take a picture. I don't know if that's on the BFRO page.
It is on there, yeah.
Yeah, you can check out that picture on the BFRO page. And this was actually followed up on by Mark Mazel. And we got to hear Walter tell this story at the Finding Bigfoot taping. But I like this one because it's someone we actually know having a sighting down in that Salt Fork area. And he said there were two black creatures. There's talking, you know, mentioned the fact that there might have been some sort of communication going on between them. So that's interesting. So just to kind of wrap up our sighting reports, what do you have from the Salt Fork area?
One of them is from July 28th, 2006. The thing that I find so interesting about this report is that it's a family group. So you have a dad, a mom, two little sisters, and another relative. And all of them claim to have had some sort of sighting, although it was very fleeting. It took me a while reading this report to see that, you know, the sighting that's being reported lasted about 10 seconds and no more than that. But they got a pretty good look at the creature, whatever it was, from multiple angles, which is kind of intriguing. It was around 7 o'clock. There were no other. It's interesting. A couple reports that you see, and I don't know what to chalk this up to, a pattern or not, but it seems like around 7 o'clock seems to be sort of a high action time for Bigfoot at Salt Fork, as well as the fact that a lot of the people who submit reports report the fact that there's no other sounds, no other animal sounds that they can hear. So it's sort of this quiet evidently descends upon them as an 8 to 10 foot dark blackish brown creature that was sighted with yellowish eyes. That seems to be another recurring feature of Salt Fork Bigfoot, and was standing behind a tree doing the classic peek and hide and peek out again. They estimate they're about 100 feet away from the creature, and like I said before, you know, it was multiple angle sighting, so people were, you know, on the trail at various points. And I think you actually mentioned something about that in the recording that we did, didn't you? Where, you know, it's sort of a technique to pioneer. Well, that's exactly what happened in this case. And once again, this was a Mark Mazel investigated report that he signed off on the BFRO site.
So one of the interesting things that I have been curious about for a while is when the history of sightings actually started in the park. And while I was at the park this week, I bought a book called Bigfoot Encounters in Ohio, Quest for the Grassman, written by Christopher Murphy in association with Jody Cook and George Clappison. They actually say that in the first 2 weeks the park was open, there were 6 or 7 sightings.
Wow.
Other incidents followed. However, we do not have specifics. So that's odd. I don't know how they can come up with that. 6 or 7 sightings and then never give any reference.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. This is a problem I have with Salt Fork State Park. It's that I constantly hear sightings referenced and a history of sightings referenced, but I don't know where the sightings are being referenced from. It's kind of one of these things where it's like, well, this person said this and this person said this, or even worse, it'll be sort of this vague, you know, well, a miner said he saw a Bigfoot in Salt Fork State Park in 1902. No reference, nothing. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I heard this, you know, I heard that. It's all hearsay, and it's hearsay of the kind that I don't enjoy, which is I have no way to cross-reference it. I mean, it's hard enough to reference Bigfoot sightings throughout history from, like, newspaper articles, because we have no way of knowing if those are factual accounts or not. And I'm talking like old newspaper articles, let alone when people are just like, this person said this, this person said that. So I do want to mention there was an extremely controversial topic in the Bigfoot community back in the mid 2000s, I want to say,
mm-hmm.
when Jody Cook had said that he had seen, or someone he knows, this is one of these issues that's hard to follow up on. I found a book called, I want to say, UFO Encounters, actually. It's something, but it's actually written by a guy in Cincinnati, and he references this case that Jody Cook talked about, where an ODNR officer had claimed that a campground at Salt Fork was actually shut down due to the high level of Bigfoot sightings at the campground. And when that was checked on by, I want to say, Don Keating, they couldn't find anything to back that up. Now, Jody Cook went on to say it wasn't him. He didn't actually, you know, say that he was the one who had seen the documentation for that, although I've seen conflicting reports on that as well. So it's an odd story, and it gets bandied about a lot. I've actually heard it at Bigfoot lectures. People say, well, there was so much Bigfoot activity at Salt Fork State Park that they actually had to close the campground. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, I would take that story with a grain of salt, because I don't know of anything to back it up. But having said that, it would be pretty awesome if the sightings at Salt Fork were so rampant that it got so out of control they had to actually close down a campground there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an awesome story. And, you know, that picnic area or the campground was closed due to safety concerns. I mean, that's so nebulous. You know, that could be anything. And the imagination goes pretty crazy at that point, you know, thinking, well, what exactly sort of safety issues would be there. The thing that is interesting too, and I agree with you completely, I mean, there seems to be this oral history or oral tradition almost of, you know, heavily populated area, Bigfoot, lots of sightings. What would seem logical, and again, I can't recall any written reports of this, but during the construction of the campground or of the state park itself, and all the work that went into it, you would think that there'd be a rash of reports that exist, but I'm not sure that they do in the form that we would prefer.
Right.
The one thing that's certainly the case is if you do visit Salt Fork, what you'll see is that the park has definitely embraced its status as a Bigfoot Mecca, and you mm-hmm. can walk into their gift shop and grab yourself any manner of Bigfoot paraphernalia, everything from t-shirts and sweatshirts to bumper stickers and books like you got, and I bought a book there too. And so, you know, regardless of what the real story is, they've definitely not tried to distance themselves from the topic. They've embraced it, and I think that's a wise move as far as, you know, getting people out and camping and using their trails. It's a good move on their part.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a topic we're going to revisit at some point, maybe get some people who've had experiences down there on the show. But well, I think that wraps it up.
Yeah, it just makes you want to drill into the reports and see if there are any that truly exist, or if we're just relying on something, you know, something shared with someone once upon a time.
Yeah, it's as odd as it is, I don't have a lot of newspaper history of reported sightings in Guernsey County.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is, but there's certainly, you know, been quite a few sightings in the county in general, and it's an ongoing thing. And you're bordering up to that Coshocton County area, which is also kind of a triangle. Part of the triangle
is
Guernsey County.
Definitely.
And Coshocton. So, all right, that wraps it up. All right, you can shut that. Join the conversation at facebook.com/sasswhat. Find us on Twitter by using the hashtag sasswhat, or you can find me on Twitter at Seth Breedslove. Mark Matsky is on Twitter at Reverend Matsky. Send your letters to sasswhatmail@gmail.com and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. ¶¶